Freilich and Yom Atzmut to the whole Chavra, and this is a very significant day in our Avodas Hashem. We have a lot to accomplish. We have a lot to talk about, a lot to talk on this day. This day, which for myself is a very significant day in terms of my Avoda. I mentioned some of you earlier this week. So I'd like to use our minds and our hearts together over the next little while to try to understand and to explore some ideas, and maybe also to come together with some nigunim to express the emotional output of those ideas. We were talking yesterday, we opened up the discussion about Yom Atzmut, and yesterday we had the chance to sort of lay out four places that we want to go. Yesterday we began to talk about what did the Gedolim actually say, just in terms of the history. We want to address some of the three major questions that people often ask. How could you celebrate the state of Israel, but ... And then let's turn the flip side. Talk about the things that we celebrate and some of the aspects for which we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the perspective of Chazal. And finally, with all that under our belts, to think about practical hanhagos on Yom Atzmaut from the perspective of Halacha and Hashkafa. So yesterday we had a chance, so there were four major aspects, four major questions. So yesterday we had the chance to begin to talk about the history of who held what. And let me actually show you if you want, this is I can share the link afterwards, and it's shared on the YU Torah post of yesterday's year. This is HaPardes, was a Torah journal that was ready to be published in America before World War II. You see Yofia La'or Ka'es b'Chicago. This is being published in Chicago in the year 1937, September 1937. I think I might have mistakenly said 1938 yesterday. 1937, this is the Elo, Tav, Resh, Tzadi, Zayin. That was the third Knesia Gedola of the Aguda, which we began to talk about yesterday. And you can, if you want, you can take a look. We riffle through the pages of this volume of HaPardes. They give you everyone's presentations. As we were talking about yesterday, you see that the overwhelming majority of the Aguda Rabbanim in Poland and Litva were embracing of the state of Israel, not without reservations, but certainly embracing of the concept. It had to be done right, but embracing of the concept. And this is a letter that we'll come back to in a moment, a letter written by the Or Samech, by the Meshech Chachma, in the 1920s, where he talks about how now we're ready to even more fully accept the notion, the upcoming notion of the state of Israel. So what's this all about? And what were the concerns? So this really brings us to step two of our exploration. What were the kashas? I want to talk about three significant kashas. The first, we'll get to the question of how is this? How could it be? How could it be that Geula, something positive, could come through Jews who were predominantly not only not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, but often even Kofrim Be'ikar did not believe in Ribbono Shel Olam? That'll be question number two. Question number three we'll come to is how can we accept this? But this isn't Mashiach. The Rambam describes Mashiach, and this is not, State of Israel is not Mashiach. But question number one is, isn't there a Gemara in Ksubas Daf Kuf Yud Alef? The Gemara in Ksubas Daf Kuf Yud Alef speaks of, based on Psukim and Shir HaShirim. Gemara says that there are The Hipsukim, repeatedly we heard these, if you were reading Shir Shirim, Leini Shir Shirim to yourself with the course of Pesach, heard again and again, Hishbati Eschem, Benos Yerushalayim, about the imposing of a Shavua on the Benos Yerushalayim. The Gemara in Ksubas Daf Kufi Ralf explains what that's about. The context there is that that is the Sugya of Chibas Haaretz at the end of Ksubas. Based on a halachic comment in the Mishnah, the Gemara begins to discuss the whole concept of Chibas Haaretz, of the love of Eretz Yisrael, the Jews have for Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara talks about Amoraim, who when they reached the border of Eretz Yisrael and entered Eretz Yisrael, they would reach down, they wanted to touch the soil, kiss the soil, roll in the soil. It's such love for Eretz Yisrael. In the context of a Jew's relationship with Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara makes reference to those psukim in Shir Hashirim and talks about the Gimel Shavuos. There's three Shavuos that the Ribbono Shel Olam imposed on Klal Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam. One of the Shavuos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed on Klal Yisrael, according to the Gemara, was Shlo Yalu Bechoma, that we shouldn't go up as a wall. I mean, that we should not, we shouldn't move in and take over Eretz Yisrael by force before Bias HaMashiach. Let's take a look at that Gemara. Here in Ksubas, turn to Kuf Yud Aleph. Here we are. Ksubas Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Near the top of the wide lines. They talk about the Psukim. Hishbati Eschem Benos Yerushalayim B'Tzva'os. What's this? Shavua? Shlo Lialo Yisrael B'Choma. Not to go up as a wall. Not to... Rashi says, Yachad B'Yad Chazaka. And the Gemara goes on to explain, Shlo Lialo B'Choma, and Shal Yimridu Umos HaOlam, not to rebel against the Umos HaOlam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed on the Nachrim, Shal Yishtabdem B'Yisrael Yosem Yidai, not to impose on Kalal Yisrael excessively. So the Gemara says, Shal Yalo B'Choma, how could we retake Eretz Yisrael before Bias HaMashiach? So that was the first of the major kashas. So how are you allowed to establish the state of Israel? This is a kasha that was pushed in particular by the Satmar Rebbe in the Divrei Yoel. He wrote an entire sefer about his rejection of the notion of the state of Israel, with a very clever title, Al HaGu'ula V'Al HaTemura, a pasuk at the end of Chumash Vayikra, Al HaGu'ula V'Al HaTemura, excuse me, a pasuk from Megillas Rus, Al HaGu'ula V'Al Tamura. So he saw it as, you know, we're swapping in the real gula for this, what looks to him like a fake gula. One of his major questions is that Gemara says we're not allowed to move into Eretz Yisrael and establish sovereignty on our own without against the Umos HaOlam before Bias HaMashiach. Now the truth is number one, this Gemara in Ksubas Kuf Yud Aleph is not quoted in any of the Sifrei HaPoskim. It doesn't appear in the Rambam, does not appear in the Tur, does not appear in the Rif, does not appear in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam in particular does quote Dinim, which are not Noeg B'Zman Hazeh. He quotes everything, quotes Kachem and Taurus and Zeram. He doesn't quote this. It is quoted by the Megillas Esther. That's where the Satmar Rebbe points out. The Megillas Esther is one of the commentaries, one of the Perushim on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. So in the Ramban, at the end of the list of the mitzvahs haseh, and he goes through the mitzvahs that the Rambam didn't count, that the Ramban felt he should have. So high on the list is the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. Ramban says, how come the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah in the Torah? In Parshas Re'eh and elsewhere of Yishuv Haaretz, of moving in and settling the land of Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban has many, many mitzvahs that the Rambam didn't count, and the Ramban is puzzled, he doesn't know why. So the Megillas Esther wants to defend the Rambam. There are various explanations why the Rambam did not count the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Megillas Esther says, because it's Aser. It's because there'll be times during Jewish history when it'll be Aser to take over Eretz Yisrael because of the Gemara and Ksubas, Kufid Aleph, the Gemara Shavuos. So that's why, because this is a mitzvah, it doesn't apply in all generations, that's why the Rambam didn't count it. Now that's a very difficult yishuv for the Rambam. The Rambam counts many mitzvahs, many, as we just said before, that mitzvahs that at times in Jewish history don't apply still get counted. We haven't brought karbanos in centuries because you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We haven't gone through the process of the procedure of the Parah Aduma in many centuries. The Rambam still counts those mitzvahs. Those are mitzvahs ledoros. There are times when it doesn't apply. Look, if a Jew is stuck in Siberia, doesn't have a lulav and esrog, he can't shake lulav and esrog. The mitzvah applies, but he doesn't have the capacity to do it. So we haven't had, so Rambam still counts those mitzvahs. So it's the Megillas Esther's defense of the Rambam is a difficult one. But be that as it may, Satmar Rebbe got very excited. You see that the Halakha Megillas Esther quotes the Gemara of Gimel Shavuos, and that's why it's Aser, Satmar Rebbe argued, to establish a state in Eretz Yisrael before Pius HaMashiach. So again, aside from the fact that one response is, who says we pass like this Gemara? This is God, you have to understand what it means. Bechlal, what does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashbia. When was the Shavua, if you understand this Gemara literally, when was the Shavua imposed? On the Jewish people, on the Umos HaOlam? It sounds like there was a conversation. When did this happen? Unless it just means HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this is what we have to do. Okay. Some argue that these shvuos are interconnected, and if the Nachrim violated Shlo Yishdavu Ben Bisrael Yosemidai, they did at many points in Jewish history, and particularly in the Holocaust, were certainly unbelievably oppressive to Jewish people. So perhaps this is a contract, and if the Nachrim didn't fulfill their shvua, so some argue we don't have to fulfill our shvua. But aside from the argument that the Rambam doesn't quote this Gemara and the Tur and so on and so forth, and the argument that maybe the Shavuos are interconnected, perhaps the strongest argument of all is right over here. What I'm showing you here, I can share the link with you afterwards. This is a selection I mentioned yesterday of Menachem Mendel Kasher as a two-volume Talmud Chacham from the second half of the 20th century, a two-volume beautiful collection called HaTkufa HaGadol, The Great Era. A whole series of essays and also very, very dripping with Bekiyas in Chazal and Midrashim about all the different aspects from a halachic and hashkafic perspective on 48, on 67. So here he quotes, this is actually a piece that he wrote in 1977. A couple years after the Yom Kippur War, in which he quotes a letter that was written by Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, the Or Sameach, the Meshech Chachma. And he writes the following, it's an unbelievable letter. Unbelievable letter. He says, he wrote this, I believe, in the late 20s. Ulam Zeb says, in this century, Zorchu Kave Or, Aide Gedole Hamas. So there have been beams of light through people, Jews who did a lot. Montefiore, there are people who were funding things, who were making things happen in Eretz Israel, who were funding Yishuvim, like Montefiore, and there were great Rabbanim, Rebellion of Graditz, and so on and so forth. And they said there were other Rabbanim who opposed it. And some were worried about what other people would say. There are people who are very fiercely opposed to this. And the Agimel Shavuos is Bia Lebnos Yushalayim. They worry about the Shalosh Shavuos. And the Meir Simcha claims Vince, the Meshachach, the Or Sameach. He addresses it directly. He says, perhaps that was a concern, even if you're going to accept. And the Gimel Shavuos are binding Al Pi Din. He says, but you have to stay aware of events. He says, the Asfat HaMamlachot HaNeorot B'San Remo. All the enlightened nations gathered in San Remo. What's he referring to? After World War I, as part of the Treaty of Versailles, Woodrow Wilson, who managed to push through the idea, he had this dream that he was going to, after World War One, at the time they called the Great War, it was the only World War at that point, and he had a dream that he would end war and bring world peace by establishing a League of Nations, by getting all the nations together to meet, and that will solve all problems of war. Now, we know in retrospect that it did anything but. Within two decades, the world would be engulfed in World War II. Rachmana Litzlan. But at the time, there was a great hope that the League of Nations would lead to world peace. The League of Nations, if you study the history of the League of Nations accomplished almost nothing. One major exception. The League of Nations met at San Remo to accept the Balfour Declaration. Lord Balfour, I believe at the time, was the foreign minister of Great Britain. Great Britain, in the aftermath of World War One, Great Britain had been on the winning side of World War One, and part of the spoils that it got was a piece of the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Empire, which had lost World War One, and part of their peace included Eretz Yisrael. And Chaim Weizmann and others had reached out to Lord Balfour about establishing a Jewish government, a Jewish state in Eretz Yisrael. And the Balfour Declaration came out when his party came back into power, that Her Majesty the Queen looks with favor upon the idea of the Jewish people establishing a homeland and a state in Eretz Yisrael. So that was at first just the Balfour Declaration was a declaration by Great Britain. When the League of Nations met at San Remo, they voted and accepted the Balfour Declaration, that notion that the Jewish people should be able to establish an independent state in Eretz Yisrael. That was really the one thing the League of Nations accomplished. And the Or Sameach says, when they met at San Remo, Nitan Savash, Eretz Yisrael, Tehili Am Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael should go back to Am Yisrael, and Sar Pachad HaShvuos. Uverishyon hamalachim kama mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Wow. He says now the fear of the Shavuos is gone. Sar pachad HaShavuos. It's an amazing thing. If you think about it, I think I may have mentioned some of you earlier this year. For centuries, Jews learned this Gemara and Ksubas. Talk about, you know, not to do things against the Umos HaOlam. Could we even have a what would it look like to do it with the permission of the Umos HaOlam, the nations of the world? What would that even have looked like? In what forum would all the nations of the world express their day on anything? For centuries, Jews learned this Gemara, and you couldn't even imagine that it would happen anyway but Biyaz HaMashiach, Nisim Gluyim. And Sibbeva HaShkacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guided events such that there would be a body that could express the Das Umos HaOlam. The Umos HaOlam feel X. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the sword with that the League of Nations would come into being to put aside the problem of the Gimel Shavuos. So if the Gimel Shavuos were ever a problem, the Or Sameach pointed out, after San Remo, Sar Pachad HaShavuos. That's no longer a concern. So that was our first question. The Gimel Shavuos, and several answers. Even if it is binding, and even if it was binding, despite the Umos HaOlam not keeping their end of the deal, but as Or Sameach says, Sar Pachad HaShavuos, it happened in San Remo after World War One, and it happened again in the United Nations on the 29th of November in 1947, when the United Nations, in what was perhaps the only pro-Israel resolution ever voted upon and accepted, the United Nations, they voted to go ahead with the state of Israel, with a Jewish state in Eretz Israel. So once again, now the Rav talks about how the famous drasha they gave in the 50s of Kol Dodi Dofek, making sure not to miss hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu knocking at the door. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was just a few years after HaKamas HaMedina. So Jews, you have to make sure, and Shirim describes the girl, Klal Yisrael is sleeping, and the dod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, comes knocking, and the girl doesn't answer the door right away. He says, Kol Dodi Dofeg, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, he's knocking. make sure not to miss the knocks. He talks about six different knocks that he hears. And one of the six knocks that the Rav describes with incredible drama is, he says, when the gavel came down, in the United Nations on the 29th of November, they said, it's been voted to accept this resolution in favor, this motion in favor of the Hakamas HaMedina. He said, you know, if you're just looking with the eyes of flesh and blood, you just saw, you know, a bus of Radam wielding that gavel. But if you knew how to look and you knew how to hear, the Rav says, you heard Melech Malchim Emlochim was banging down that gavel. That gavel banging down, that was mamish, called Dodi Dofa. Kadosh Baruch was banging. Kadosh Baruch was knocking on the door. It's a sea, unbelievable. Sar Pachad HaShavuos. Sar Pachad HaShavuos. That's kasha number one. Kasha number two is, some would say, how could this be a positive thing? How could you say that the establishment of the movement towards establishing the state of Israel, okay, the Zionist movement began in the 1800s. The truth is, it began, if you want to say, the move to work practically towards Yishuv Haaretz was really Talmidei Agra. And then it continued to pick up steam in the late 1800s. There were religious Jews who were very involved. The Chovevei Haaretz, the Netziv and others were very encouraging of this, but there was certainly a very strong secular Zionist movement, Theodor Herzl and others, who pushed and pushed for the to work towards establishing a Jewish state. And how could you say that most of those who worked towards Hakamas were religious Jews? But it certainly is true that over time, up until 1948, the majority were probably not showing Tar Mitzvahs. The majority may not even have been people who were Ma'amin and Bakadosh Baruch Hu, Rachman Litzlan. So you can say, how could this be a positive thing? Certainly, if you could begin to speak not only about a State of Israel being a Matana Tov from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, but if you could go a step further, begin to think about the beginnings of Geula, as Rabbi Taub spoke about earlier this morning, as we will return to. So how could you say Geula, even Yeshua, and certainly Geula, how could that come through Jews who are not Tzaddikim? Seems like a strong kasha. So as Rabbi Taub made reference earlier today, there are plenty of examples of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses different shluchim at different times. And Rav Kasher points to the following specific example. Take a look. Melachim Beis Perek Yudalad. Near the end. Here we are. We're talking about one of the, as you know, Sefer Melachim takes you through the Malchei Yehuda and the Malchei Yisrael after the lifetime of Shlomo HaMelech, as the Navi had told Shlomo. After the lifetime of Shlomo HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to redivide Eretz Yisrael. Shaul, to an extent, and certainly David, had unified all of Eretz Yisrael into a single united kingdom. What had formerly been Yehuda and Yisrael were united into a single government under David HaMelech and subsequently under Shlomo. But the Navi told Shlomo, after you pass away, your son will not be the Melech over all of Eretz Yisrael. He'll only be Melech over the southern kingdom, what we call Malchus Yehuda. Malchus Yisrael will have other kings. And all of the balance of Sefer Melachim goes back and forth and back and forth. There was this Melech in Yehuda, there was this Melech in Yisrael, there was this Melech in Yehuda, telling the story of each. So here we are near the end of Melachim Beis Perek Yudalad. Pasuk Chav Gimel, the Torah, the Pesukim say in the 15th year of Amatziah, being king of Yehuda down in the south, Molach Yeravam ben Yoash Melech Yisrael, Bishomron Arbon Va'achashano. There was King Yeravam. This is Yeravam the second. Yeravam ben Avat is the first Melech Yisrael's name was Yeravam. This is a different person, Yeravam ben Yoash. And when Amatziah was already 15 years into his reign down south in Malchus Yehuda, Yeravam ascended to the throne of Malchus Yisrael. In Shomron was the capital of Malchus Yisrael. So he became the next Malchus Yisrael. And what was he like? He followed the pattern of all the other Malchus Yisrael. Ayas hara b'nei Hashem, a terrible rasha. Lo sar mikol chatzis Yeravam ben Nevat, a shehechti is Yisrael. You don't always hear this language. He was as bad as Yeravam. The original Yeravam ben Nevat had been a chote or machti, that originally Rav ben Avot, centuries earlier, had actively introduced Avodah Zarah into the Northern Kingdom for political reasons to cement his control over his subjects. And this second year, Rav Nirman Yoash, he kept that terrible tradition of chet and of being machti kalal yisrael rachmo etzlan. And what's the next thing that you hear? Melachim Beis Perikudal Pasuk Chavei, who heishiv es gavul yisrael milavo chan mosad yom arava. He restored the original glorious, robust borders of Eretz Yisrael. Wow. He expanded, he reconquered parts of Eretz Yisrael that they had lost. Kedivar Hashem Elokei Yisrael asher diber biad avdo Yona ben Amitai Anavi, asher migas ha-chefer, as had been predicted by the Navi, Yona ben Amitai, who many assume is the same Yona ben Amitai that we know from Yona and Treyasar, from the story of Nineveh. Wow. So this Rasha Merusha, this Yeravam ben Yoash, he was the one. He was the one who was responsible. It was through him. It's very clear. It was his HaKadosh Baruch Hu acting. It was through him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu restored much of Eretz Yisrael to the sovereignty of Klal Yisrael. And why? And interesting. Then the pasuk goes on to explain why. Ki ra Hashem es ani Yisrael moreh me'od. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the Jewish people very downtrodden. Efes atzur v'azuv ein ozer li Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Klal Yisrael to remain in that downtrodden position. Vayoshiyim pasuk chavzayim biyad Yeravam ben Yoash. Kadosh Baruch Hu saved Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought Yeshua through this Russia, Yeravam ben Yoash. Wow. Wow. So the Radak explains. The machlokes, he quotes a machlokes. Yesh misha omer, shemasha covers Yeshua covers. There, some say that they were retaking land that originally be conquered under Yeshua. They were just restoring the border. Aram had taken away a piece, and now they were retaking it back for Klal Yisrael. And some say it was even more. Yesh misha omer, yosim masha covers Yeshua covers there. He expanded even beyond the kibush of Yeshua. Incredible. Incredible. And now take a look. Radak is a short and very important Radak in Pasuk Chavav. Remember the Pasuk Chavav, the Pasuk had said that he had, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told the Navi, and it happened through this Rasha Yeravam, the retaking of this piece of Eretz Yisrael, the expansion of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So you would think we're done. Pasuk Chavav gave an explanation. You know why it happened? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw how downtrodden we were. Well, why the need for an explanation? We got back Eretz Yisrael. Well, I have to explain why. So Radak says, Ki ro Hashem, what's the significance? He's saying, oh, Hashem saw how downtrodden we were. He says, Lo bishvil tshuva sha'asu. It wasn't that we deserved it. It's not that we did tshuva. Sometimes Klal Yisrael is zochet to something because we did tshuva. It wasn't because of tshuva. Sherichem aleihem, ki ro anyam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw how downtrodden we were, and yet rachmanas on us. It doesn't even mean we deserved it. Wow. See, here you have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought an unbelievable Yeshua. Through this Rasha. And it's fascinating that the Psukim keep stressing that this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was acting through Yeravam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told the Navi in advance this was going to happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Yoshiyim VaYoshiyim B'Yad Yeravam Ben Yoash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us through Yeravam Ben Yoash. Very, very clear. The Psukim are stressing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Yeshua, the Shliach that he chose, was this leader, this Jewish leader Yeravam, who was a Chote Umachti, like in the pattern of Yeravam Ben Nevat. Mamash, introducing Avodah Zarah. Terrible chatoim, chote machti, and he was the vehicle whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose for Yeshua. So the answer to the second question is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his own cheshbonos. whom he chooses when. Even without getting into the Kabbalistic understanding that some point out based on Megillas Rus and the story of Tamar, that sometimes Dafka Kadosh Baruch Hu will begin the process of Geula through what looked like less than spiritually ideal circumstances. That maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu Dafka operates that way. That's possible as well. I believe Reb Tzadok and others speak about that concept. But certainly, you see, to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only brings Geula and Yeshua through great tzaddikim is demonstrably false. Demonstrably false. This man may not only have restored the Gevulos of Eretz Yisrael, maybe even expanded the Gevulos of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Moshias. Pesukim are very clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Moshias through Yeravim Ben Yoash. Sometimes you hear people saying, Rachman Atzlan, oh, it's a Sitra Achra. It was a devil who did it. A Satan did it. But the Satan is also works for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing happens without HaKadosh Baruch Hu willing it. And certainly not something happening to Klal Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael, where Hashgacha Pratis is the greatest. This is Maaseh Hashem. And then the third question we had raised, we had said we wanted to address ourselves to three kashas against that might make us feel uncomfortable with the concept of the State of Israel, and then we'll talk about some of the positives. So we already addressed the question of the Gimel Shavuos, and we already addressed the question of how could it be that Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring Yeshua through Jews who are not Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. And then comes the third question. Third question is, but this isn't Mashiach. Right? The Rambam is very clear. At the very end of the Mishnah Torah, the last two chapters, the last sefer Mishnah Torah is sefer Shoftim. The last section in Shoftim is Hilchos Melachim. The last two prakim in Hilchos Melachim, prakim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, the very last two prakim in all of Mishnah Torah are Hilchos Mashiach. Rambam talks about Mashiach, and that's important halacha lemaisa because it's a shaila that's come up over 100 times in Jewish history. People present themselves as Mashiach, we have to be able to determine, is he Mashiach or not? And the Rambam is very clear. The beginning of this section, the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Melachim, he says, Melech Mashiach is going to restore Malchus Beis David, he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to be Mekah Beis Nidchei Yisrael, we're going to keep all the Halachas again, Shemitah and Yovel and Karbanos and so on and so forth. So you say this is not Mashiach. This is not Mashiach. This is not a Melech Malchus based David. As if we haven't had a Binyan based HaMikdash. We have had quite a bit of Kibbutz Galios, but we haven't had the restoration of Karbanos and so on and so forth. Now, so the first answer to this third question is in the Chadami. Who says this has anything to do with Mashiach? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done us a great tova. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a place to come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the zchus to come to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe this has nothing to do with Mashiach, but there's so much to be grateful for. Certainly Yeshua. But could it be that's even a geula? So as I said yesterday, Rashech would like to say over the Rav's, one of the Rav's formulations, that religious Zionism means the recognition that the State of Israel, the establishment of the State of Israel, was a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was a matana tova from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And one need not see this as a part of the process of Geula in order to say that this was a matana tova from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a subset within understanding it's a matana tova, that it was a great Yeshua and a great gift, one could take it a step further and even say, Geula, I Geula. What do you mean? This is not Mashiach. So let me show you an absolutely remarkable Gemara in Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph. I want to show you a Gemara at the top of Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph and a Gemara at the bottom of Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph. I think we've spoken about this in the past. It's Kedai to see. Inside. Osios Machimos, Rebbe say. Osios Machimos. Here we are. Now let Gemara says like this. Gemara is talking about a Jew should not, the Gemara tells the Parak Chelek, a Jew should not be one of the Mechashvei Kitzim, even though many Jews have been. But the Gemara says a Jew should not be one of the Mechashvei Kitzim. A Jew should not be involved in trying to calculate exactly in what year, what time Mashiach will come. It's been very tempting throughout Jewish history. The Gemara warns us against it. You're likely to get it wrong, cause more harm than good. A Jew should not try to figure out the number. Well, what's the number? What's the year by which Mashiach must come? But the Gemara says a Jew should not figure out the number, but there is a simen, without knowing the exact date the Mashiach will come, there's an indicator. If you see this happen, that's an indicator that Mashiach is coming. The Amar Rabbi Abba Gemara in Sanhedrin. Amar Rabbi Abba. And l'cha ketz megula mizeh, there's no greater giloy of the ketz, there's no greater simen that Mashiach is coming then the nevuah of Yechezkel. Nevuah of Yechezkel in Perek Lamavav. This is right before, a couple of psukim before the haftarah of Shabbos Chol Moed Pesach, of the dry bones. I had the chance to learn this with some of you over the course of Chol Moed. That talks about the in Perek Lamed Zayin, the Nevuah, the dry bones. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Yechezkel there's going to be a Tchias HaMeisim for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is going to come back to life again. And a couple psukim before that is this pasuk that we're quotes as the greatest simon that Mashiach is on the way. Atem Hare Yisrael Anfechem Titenu Frichem Tisulam Yisrael. Navi says, you hilltops of Eretz Yisrael, you've been holding back on growing. Anfechem titenu, ufrichem tisulam Yisrael. Now it's time for your branches to produce again. Now it's time for your branches to be heavy with fruits la'ami Yisrael, for my nation called Yisrael. Rabbeinu Shlom says, when the Geula will be coming, that's how the Gemara understands, the Geula will be coming, Eretz Yisrael will have been holding back for so many centuries on her fruit. She's waiting for her children to come back. When she begins to give her fruit again, for her children, that's when you know Ein Lecha Ketz Megula Mizeh. What does Rashi say? Kishet the first narrow line. Kishet Titin Eretz Yisrael Piria BeAyin Yafe. When Eretz Yisrael is once again giving her fruits in abundance, Oz Yikar VaKetz. Then you know that the Ketz is coming closer. VeEin Lecha Ketz Megula Yoser. No greater simon of the coming of that the coming of Mashiach is close than this. As the Rabbi Tablis mentioned before. For centuries and centuries and centuries, Eretz Yisrael was desolate. The Crusaders came and they said, where is the Eretz of Azchol Vashu we read about in Chumash? This land is full of grays and sandy, grays and browns, there's no green. Where's the promised land? As he mentioned Mark Twain in his travelogues, it comes to Eretz Yisrael. It was the opposite one would have expected. No Eretz of Azchol Vashu. Just a few decades later, Eretz Yisrael begins to become green again. In the late 1800s into the 1900s, we take it for granted. We drive around Eretz Yisrael and you see farms everywhere. Acres and acres and acres of things growing. Of grapes, and watermelons, all sorts of things. We take it as davar pashut. But this was not to be seen for centuries. And the Gemara tells us, almost 2,000 years ago, when you see this nevuah of Yechezkel being fulfilled, that's the best simon that Mashiach is close. We don't know exactly when. You can't calculate the year exactly. But Ein Lecha Ketz Megula Mizeh. Wow. Wow. We've spoken in the past about various nevuos that we have been zocha to see with our own eyes. That Jews in previous centuries could only have imagined seeing. Like the nevuah that Rabbi Akiva references. Odeshu Zekenim Zekenus. So there are baruch, as the years go on, and Eretz Yisrael, more and more of the nevuos in Tanakh are fulfilled before our eyes. And that's always incredibly exciting. But this is not only we're seeing a nevuah be fulfilled. The Gemara told us this is a simon of the Geula's coming. And we get to see it. We've been seeing it for over a century. And then I'll say, okay, so it's close. But who says Hakamas HaMedina has anything to do with it per se? So I want to take a look. The following Gemara. Here we are. The Gemara has later on Tariches Amar Alf. The Gemara is a stira. Yeshua ben Levi Rami, right over here. Yeshua ben Levi, like around 15, 20 lines from the bottom. Yeshua ben Levi Rami, Yeshua ben Levi has to steer. Ksiv beita, uksiv achishana. It's in a single pasuk, one word after the other. They tell you that this is Perek Samach in Yeshayahu. And Navi, with one of the nevuas of Geula, of Yeshua, Yeshev Nechemta, the Navi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Be'ita Achishana. I will hurry up the Geula in its time. Be'ita is in its time. Achishana, I will hurry it. So the Gemara says, that's a stira. There you go. Right, DJ points out, this is the Haftar for Parshat Kisava. The second to last of the Shev Dinechemta. Nearing its climax. Talk about Mamish, not only Nechama, but Geula, looking forward to Geula. Be'ita Achishana. I'm going to hurry it up on its time. So DJ or any other Yekka would ask, what do you mean? If it's on time, then you're not hurrying up. Is it on time, or are you ahead of schedule? Are you ahead of schedule, or are you on time? Any good Yekka knows. Yekkas are known for coming on time to things. That means, for most of us, that means as opposed to coming late. But also means as opposed to coming early. On time is on time. Right? If the train runs on time, it means it doesn't leave early, it doesn't leave late, it leaves on time. So is the Geula coming? So this is a serious question the Gemara has. Yeshua ben Levi says, I don't understand. Is Yeshayahu saying that there's a schedule for when Mashiach is going to come? Or is HaKadosh Baruch going to bring it advance? Which one? Serious Shiloh. The Gemara asks another Shiloh. Again, the same Rabbi Alexandria quotes from Yeshua ben Levi. The Arom, on the one hand, you have a pasuk in Daniel. This is now moving from the question of when to the question of how. What's the process of Geula going to look like? On the one hand, Daniel, this is in the Aramaic part of Daniel, the Arom in Anane Shemaya, Kavar Inishasa. And lo and behold, out of the clouds comes a human figure comes flying out of the clouds. Wow, miraculous, razzle dazzle. While the Navi Zechariah famously describes the coming of Mashiach as Ani Baruch HaMachamar, a poor man riding a donkey. Right? Is Mashiach going to show up in our terminology, to use our metaphors? Is Mashiach showing up in a space shuttle? Is Mashiach showing up in an Alfa Romeo? Or is Mashiach showing up in a, you know, a beaten up 1984 Chevy? Oldsmobile, there you go. Right. Tarti Mashma. So that's so there are different ways of phrasing these two images. Right? So I appreciate all those who gave contemporary versions of what this imagery is. But Lamasa, the Gemara points out that the Nevi'im we're giving very different, poetically giving very different pictures. What's Biyash HaMashiach going to be like? Mamish Ol Nisim, razzle dazzle flying out of the sky? Oni Baruch Al Chamar. No, toned down. Doesn't look like anything exciting. A poor man riding a donkey. Okay, nothing to get excited about. So Yeshua ben Levi asked both Stiros, quoted by his Talmud Rabbi Alexandri, an Amori you don't hear so often, and to both he gives the same answer. Zachu, lo zachu. Here he says, Zachu achishena, lo zachu beita. If a kaz will be zoche, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will rush Mashiach and bring him ahead of schedule. If we're not zoche, beita. We'll come on schedule. And then again, he says a line or two later, the same thing in terms of how. If we'll be zoche, so then, varom in shemayek, flying out of the sky, razzle dazzle. If we're not zoche, then only v'rochav al chamar. And I've heard from Rav Shechter many times, Rav Kasher and others quote this as well, that the Ar Sameach HaKadosh, quotes this Gemara in his Perush al HaTorah on Parshas Balak. Near the end of the Nevuos of Bilam, he delivers a Nevuah that's all about Bias HaMashiach. And he opens with two images, Dorach Koch of Miyakov, V'kam Shevet Miyisrael. He sees a shooting star from Yaakov, and he sees a rising staff, come shave it. So our Samech trying to figure out what's the significance of these two images. And he says, our Samech writes, you see, not the Samech, sorry, the Arachayim. The Arachayim HaKadosh, who lived in the 1700s, long before anyone was dreaming of political Zionism. Arachayim HaKadosh writes that, look, the Gemara we just learned in Sanhedrin Sarichas says that there are two manners in which the process of Bias HaMashiach can unfold. It could either be Varom in Shemaya, the way Daniel describes, totally miraculous, and he's in the Arachayim HaKadosh says that's Darach Koch of Miyakov, a shooting star, totally sudden, immediate, totally Nisim Gluim. And he says the other possibility, lo zocha or not zocha. So then, v'ani rocha lachamar, like the poor man riding the donkey. What does that mean? So the Archaim says, that's the second phrase, the second image that Bilam used. Come shevet mi Yisrael. He says shevet is a symbol of government, of politics. So Archaim writes, if we'll be zocha. So then the process of getting to be a Samashiach will be super rapid and entirely miraculous. If we're not Zocha, then it'll be a slow, natural, political process that will lead ultimately to Melech HaMashiach. So you look back at the last century or more of Jewish history, and you say, you know, so it's a little bittersweet, because it looks like Lo Zachinu. It would seem that we have not been Zocha in the Gemara sense. It looks like we're watching based on what the Gemara tells us, based on what the Archaim writes. We're watching the plan B. There was a plan A and a plan B. If we had earned, if Klal Yisrael earned Bias HaMashiach, the Gemara says, they'll come, Achishen, as soon as we earn Mashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring him and bring him with total nisim. If we don't earn Mashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing Mashiach whether we earn it or not. That's part of the plan. We're going to get to Mashiach. But if we don't earn it, so then we'll wait until the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set aside the Kates. And the process of getting there, if we haven't earned it, will be a slow, natural, political process. As I state. It's sort of like, just to lesaber es ha'ozen, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took, the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to Eretz Yisrael, first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, we left Mitzrayim, we left Har Sinai, Nosim Anachnu, Moshe says to Yisro in Parshas Baaloscha, right, we're getting ready to leave Har Sinai after almost a year, and Nosim Anachnu, we are traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and that was the plan with Chatzotzros, where it was supposed to be a very rapid journey, the Torah tells us. And then one chet leads to another chet, leads to another chet, a downward spiral, ultimately chet ha-meraglim, parsha shlach, and then boom. The gzeira is going to be 40 years. We still got to Eretz Yisrael. The final destination did not change. But how rapid it was and what the process was like, that did change. But the final destination remained the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just moved us from plan A to plan B in terms of how to get there. From trail A, I should say, to trail B. It sounds like a very similar type of setup here in terms of the trail, the path to the Gula Hasida, to Bias HaMashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get us there either way. But how rapidly he gets us there and what the trail to get there is like, is it very rapid and all Nisim Gluyim, or is it slower and a natural political process with Nisim and Starim, like the story of Purim, so that's totally in us. The destination is determined, but the way we get there, that's telling our Meisim. Zachu, Achishana, and Varom and Shemaya. Lo Zachu, Be'ita, and Ani Rocha Vachamar. And what the Gemara and the Arachayim describe as based on the psukim in Zechariah, the psukim parashas Balak, as the lo zachu, as possibility number two, as trail number two, that looks very much like what we have been experiencing, Klal Yisrael has been experiencing over the last century plus. We've seen a slow, natural, political process of Nisim Nistarim, sometimes very dramatic Nisim Nistarim, to get us to where we are so far. And it, right, who would have dreamed the 1800s that European nationalism would have set the stage for people to be able to hear a concept of a Jewish return to the state of Israel? And who would have imagined they could have made such headway? And who would have imagined that we would see the kiyum of the Nevuos of Yechezkel? Prichem tisul yam Israel. Who would have imagined that in the wake of World War I and World War II and the incredible, incredible destruction that was wreaked upon Klal Yisrael and the entire world, that the League of Nations and the United Nations would accept the notion, the Umos HaOlam would have a forum through which to accept, and indeed did accept, the notion that Eretz Yisrael should be Klal Yisrael's. What a remarkable thing. What a remarkable thing. And the Nisim Nistarim, that we were not totally annihilated in Milchemet HaShechor 1948. And you read, Kedai between now and Yom Yerushalayim. So set aside time to read Michael Oren's magisterial, 6 Days of War, to get a flavor for the such incredibly overt Nisim Nistarim that filled the Milchemet Shesh HaYamim, that filled the 6 Day War in 1967. This is what we're witnessing. HaKadosh, based on Chazal, based on the Archaim, it looks like we are witnessing the unfolding, the political unfolding, come shave at me Israel, the political unfolding of a process that will ultimately lead, we hope and pray, to Mamash Melech HaMashiach, the way the Rambam describes. So is this Mashiach? Of course not. Not yet. Not yet. But the notion that there could be a process leading to Melech HaMashiach, that's not something that concept is not something that someone dreamt up a couple of decades ago. That's a Gemara, based on a pasuk in Zechariah. That's an Or HaChaim, based on a pasuk in Parshas Balak. So as I said before, it's a little bittersweet, because if that's what we're seeing, it means lo zachinu. It means that the Klal Yisrael, we didn't make it. We didn't manage over the course of centuries to earn Bias HaMashiach. So that's a bitter pill. But at the same time, to be Jews who have this chus to be alive when this process of Geula is unfolding before our eyes, what our great grandparents would have given to be zocha to see this. So as I said before, Yeshua, it certainly is. The kasha of the Gimel Shavuos laid to rest for many reasons. And particularly, even if it was ever binding, even if it's binding despite the Nachum not keeping their end of the deal, Ar Sameach, Sar Pachad HaShavuos, San Remo solved those problems, and the Chavtet B'November sealed the deal in terms of that. Could HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring Yeshua, and perhaps even Geula, and restoration of Eretz Yisrael to Am Yisrael, through Jews who are not Shomer Mitzvahs? You see, Yeravam ben Yoash, one of the greatest Yeshuas of all of Sefer Malachim, comes through this Rasha Marusha, Melech Yisrael. And would we celebrate something which is not Bias HaMashiach? So number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chasadim for us even when he's not bringing Mashiach. This was certainly extraordinary chasadim. And beyond that, this may well be the unfolding of Geula. We have not reached the pinnacle of Geula. We haven't reached Mashiach ben David. But there could be a process. As we see in this Gemara, and as we see as well, the Gemara in one other place references, in one place the Gemara speaks about the notion of Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben David we're familiar with. But who's Mashiach ben Yosef? It's a Gemara near the end of Maseches Sukkah, tucked away. So the Vilna Gaon wrote Kuntresim on this concept. And essentially what he appears to say, again, if we're not Mekubalim, it's hard to decipher everything that Vilna Gaon is driving at, but what he appears to be saying is that Mashiach ben Yosef can either refer to a person or could refer to the process of coming, the preliminary process that will lead up to Mashiach ben David. So that's what we are zocha to see before our eyes. That's what we're zocha to see before our eyes. Now, in addressing ourselves to the three big kashas, and how what can be miyasha, the three big kashas, we have also definitely begun to work on our third phase, which is what is it that we're celebrating? We've spoken about the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us, physically saved us. We had a place to go. If you know your basic, your modern Jewish history, the 1940s, after World War II, it was before World War II, after World War II, the world was a dangerous place for Jews. And Jews were not did not have a lot of places where they were accepted and where they could come or where they could emigrate to just to save our lives and to rebuild our lives. And on a very basic level, HaKamas HaMedina gave every Jew the Chok HaShvut, gave every Jew a Kadosh Baruch Hu, giving every Jew a place to go. And we spoke about the fact that this may even be, you know, the unfolding of Geula. Let's talk about that a little bit more, because one might say, since when does Jewish sovereignty, a political concept, that's not a Torah concept? What does that have to do with Geula? So, Tabas made reference to something that I want to show you. Here we are, the very end of Hilchos Tisha B'Av in Or Chaim, very last siman, is about throughout the year, the halacha based on the Gemara's and Moed Katan about tearing Kriya. Gemara says a Jew sees Mikdash or Yerushalayim or Ore Yehuda b'Churbanan. If you see cities of Eretz Yehuda in Churban, you have to tear Kriya. So we're familiar with tearing for Mikdash. What's this tearing for Ore Yehuda b'Churbanan? Here is Tavkuf Samach Aleph. Seif Aleph. Shulchan quotes from the Gemara in Moikan, Haroe, Ar Yehuda b'churbanan, Omer, Arei Katshecha hayu midbar, v'korea. And he goes on to talk later about Haroe Yushalayim b'churbanan, Haroe Mikdash b'churbanan. So what's b'churbanan in this context? What do you mean that I understand what Mikdash b'churbanan means? They see the Makam Mikdash with no Beis HaMikdash. Maybe Yushalayim b'churbanan might mean I see Yushalayim with no Beis HaMikdash. But what's Ar Yehuda b'churbanan? What does that mean? To see Chevron in a state of Churban. To see Beit Lechem in a state of Churban. What does that mean in a state of Churban? So you could have imagined it means, that, I don't know, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, all of our Yehuda are considered to be B'Churban. That would mean that when you're coming down the highway from the airport, you're going to tear Kriya long before you get to Yerushalayim, as you begin to get into Eretz Yehuda, and you see cities. You know, they're all b'churban because there's no Beis HaMikdash. One could have imagined that's the case. We don't do that. That's because the Magen Avraham, quoting the Beis Yosef in Rishonim, doesn't say that. Here it is. Magen Avraham says, b'churbanan, afa pisha yoshem em Yisrael. Even though it's settled, well, what is churban also could have meant that it's desolate, that's unsettled, or at least that there are no Jews living there. But Magen Avraham says, no. Even if there are Jews living there, it's still in a state of churban. Kevin Shah Umos Moshlim Alehem Mikri Churban. Yes, Jews are living there, and yes, Jews have shuls and yeshivas. But if it's Umos or Moshlim Alehem, if it's under the political control of Umos HaOlam, that's called churban. Which means when we retook Ore Yehuda, some of them in 1948 and many more of them in 1967. That was a rolling back of Churban. That was a reduction of Churban. You see that one element, not the only element, but one element of Churban is the lack of Jewish political sovereignty over areas of Eretz Yisrael, and particularly over areas of Eretz Yisrael. That's a halachic concept. That's a din with nafkaminas. And what that means practically is when you see Ari Yehuda that are under the control of the state of Israel, you do not tear Kriya. But if you're traveling and you see, you know, most of Beit Lechem is under the control of the PA, you tear Kriya. I'm not sure if I should have had the schus to do that. Schus is a funny word to use. But I've had the opportunity to travel enough in Eretz Yisrael, and at the same time that we don't have control over parts of Eretz Yisrael, to tear Kriya over, or to fulfill this Magen Avraham. that a lack of Jewish sovereignty is an element of Churban. A restoration of Jewish sovereignty is an element of Geula. So there was a practical Yeshua of Klal Yisrael. There was the beginning of the process of Geula. There was a third element, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, such a explosion of Liman HaTorah since Klal Yisrael came back to Eretz Yisrael and took back Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shechter, from time to time, Yom HaTzmud will always give a Yom HaTzmud themed shir. He tends to rotate between different topics. Sometimes he'll speak about 10 things to celebrate Yom HaTzmud. These are three of them. Let me share with you two more. And I'll share with you these two because they sound so secular and they're actually a Gemara. You know what we celebrate? We're celebrating the restoration of Jewish pride. Now, Jewish pride might rub some of us the wrong way. That sounds like a very secular concept. Jewish pride, or that's not a Siman Shulchan Aruch, which is the Targum Mitzvah, is a Jewish pride. Sounds like a nice idea, maybe. Sort of finding how do you wrap your arms around it. So lest you think that Jewish pride is not a Jewish concept, it's good to know that the Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about it a lot. So that probably makes it a pretty Jewish concept. Take a look. Here in Chagiga. Daf Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara talks about... Sorry, I'm just moving the screens around so I can see you on the Zoom and I can simultaneously see this Gemara. Here are the wide lines. Chagiga Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. Navi says that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm crying in private. B'mistarim tivke nafshi. Kadosh Baruch Hu is b'mistarim, the hidden places. Rabbi Hashem is crying mipnei geva. In other words, after Churban, even though you look around the world and the rest of the world seems like it's okay, it seems like a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu is crying in private. He doesn't always show his emotions, so to speak. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying bitterly, again, metaphorically speaking. It pains HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's he pained about? So the pasuk says, Mipnei Geva. His Ribbono Shel Olam is crying because of Geva. What does that mean? The next line, My Mipnei Geva, Amar of Shmuel, Bar Yitzchak, Koras Tu Pshatim. Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says, Mipnei Ga'avasan She Yisrael. Either it's the pride of the Jewish people or the pride of Malchus Shamayim, the pride of the Jewish religion. So what do these mean? The pride of the Jewish religion, the Rav discusses in that drasha I mentioned before in the 50s, called Dodi Dofik. And he explains the pride of the Jewish religion was taken away at the time of Churban. He and Rav understood this as a reference to the fact that the Christians claim that yes, the Jewish people used to be the Am HaNivchar, but they claim, part of their kfira, that they claim that Kadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind, and we were rejected. When we rejected Yashka, so the Christians claim that's when Kadosh Baruch Hu said we're no longer Jewish people, no longer the Am HaNivchar, and from now on, Am HaNivchar will be those who accept Yashka. That's a classic Christian doctrine. And what's the raya that we were rejected from being the Am HaNivchar? We lost Eretz Yisrael. That's the classic Christian argument. You rejected Yashka. A couple of decades later, you lose the Beis HaMikdash. You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in you. You're no longer the Am HaNivchar. And they were making that argument for close to 19 centuries. And then it got a little sticky when we got Eretz Yisrael back. So now what? So the Catholic Rome, Catholic Church, argued, no, they got back, Tel Aviv and Haifa, they got back Maran Israel, but they didn't get back biblical Israel. Now, Bethlehem, Jericho, right, all the cities that we focus on in the Tanakh, so many of them are Eretz Yehuda, which remained under Jordanian control. There was never a country called Palestine. It was part of Jordan. It was under Jordanian control, the West Bank of the Yarden, as well the east bank of the Yarden, both were under Jordanian control from 48 to 67. So the Catholic Church always said, they don't have the real Eretz Yisrael, so to speak. We didn't have Makam Mikdash, we didn't have the old city of Yerushalayim until 67. And then, after 67, after the Kadosh Baruch Hu did incredible Nisim for us, 19 years after Hakamas HaMedina, and in less than a week, we won against all odds and retook so much, vastly increased the amount of real estate under Jewish sovereignty, and we took back all the old parts of Eretz Israel, the old Sibri Yerushalayim, and Hebron, and Beit Lechem, and Yericho, and so on and so forth. So now the Catholic Church was in a real theological quandary, which is why they almost immediately began pushing for the internationalization of Jerusalem. For theological reasons. Because the Jewish control over Yerushalayim is a profound theological kasha against the Catholic Church. And the Rav said already in the 50s, that's what this Gemara means. Kadosh Baruch Hu was crying, the second Amora, who was it? Shmuel ben Achmeni says, Rebbe Shalom is crying, he's pained by the loss of Gavasa Mipnei Geva, Gavasa Shal Malach Shalayim, the pride of the Jewish religion is downtrodden. Because look at us. Because the Christians can claim they were not the Am HaNivchar. Oh. So the Rav said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knocking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is restoring Gavasa Shal Malach Shalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is restoring the pride of the Jewish religion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making it clear once again that we are the Am HaNivchar by giving us back Eretz Yisrael. This is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been crying over. You know what the metaphor means. In human terms, it never described, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incredibly sad, more so than we can tell. The Mistarim Tiv Kenavsh, something that's been, a source of pain and sadness for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all these generations. And now finally, that's been rolled back. Shouldn't we be thrilled that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not crying? And what's the other pshat in the Gemara? Shmuel by Yitzchak said, Gavoshon shall Yisrael, the pride of the Jews. It's a different pshat, not the pride of Judaism, not the pride that we are the Am HaNivchar, I mean Jewish pride. We were a downtrodden people. Klal Yisrael got kicked around for centuries. And now we can be a proud people again. So lest you think, as I said a few minutes ago, that Jewish pride is a secular concept that was, invented a couple of decades ago, it's a millennia-old authentic Jewish concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been in pain. The Gemara same pshat, the Gemara in Chagiga Heim Abay same pshat, and the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been in pain for centuries because of the loss of Jewish pride that came as a consequence of the Churban. And that pride has been restored. It was restored in 48. It was further restored in 1967. There's a reason why the Tshuva movement really took off after 67. There's a reason why so many more Jews in America felt comfortable wearing their yarmulkes to work after 67. You ask if you're lucky enough to have grandparents who are still alive and well and capable of having a conversation with you, that's a bracha not to be taken for granted. And it would be a good idea between Hey Yir and Chav Ches Yir, the next couple of weeks, between now and Yom Yerushalayim, try to find take the opportunity to ask them, to get a sense of them, what was it like? What changed? Some of you can even discuss this with your parents. What was it like to be a Jew before 67 versus after 67? What was it like to be a Jew before 48 versus after 48? Gavas and Shal Yisrael, that's something real. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been crying for the loss of Jewish pride. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer crying as much. There's plenty to be happy about. So we've had the chance in discussing the third section of our conversation to survey some of the many things that we celebrate. We celebrate the simplest level of the Yeshua, that Klal Yisrael had a place to live and to survive. We celebrate what appears to be the beginnings of Geula, as we developed at length before. We celebrate Ki Mitzion Teitetor V'Hashem Yerushalayim, the incredible explosion of Limud HaTorah that has, as the Navi told us, associated with Tzion Yerushalayim. Klal Yisrael come back to Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael come back to Yerushalayim, in 67 Klal Yisrael come back to Yerushalayim more fully, and learning takes off. That's what the Navi told us. We're zochet to see it. And it's something we should take a incredible Simchas HaTorah. And as we said, the restoration of the pride of the Jewish religion, that our sovereignty of Eretz Yisrael and our sovereignty of Yerushalayim demonstrates, if there was any doubt, that we are the Am HaNivchar. Again, we always knew that we were the Am HaNivchar, Ani Hashem Lo Shinisi, but it demonstrates to others that we are the Am HaNivchar. And the restoration of Jewish pride, both of which were sources of pain, whatever that means, kivayachal, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for centuries. And that pain has been undone. And we spoke before about the Magen Avraham, the notion in terms of that second aspect of Geula, that Magen Avraham, based on the Beis Yosef and others, that political sovereignty is not only a step towards, a step on the process towards Geula, the Orachaim's Kam Shevet, but it itself is an aspect of Geula, a piece of Geula. When we say that the Hakamas HaMedina appears to be Aschalta de Geula, the beginning of the process of Geula, that's what we mean. It's not some airy concept. This is rooted in Gemaras. This is rooted in Poskim. So for this reason, there's so much to celebrate, to open our eyes and to see Yad Hashem, and to see remarkable Nisim, and to see so many Nevuahs being fulfilled. There's so much to celebrate. So much to celebrate. This brings us to the final leg of our conversation. And that is, so what exactly should we be doing? You've come across a wide array of practices, and you've heard certainly a wide array of practices Yom HaTzimut, right? Should I say Hal Shanasel with a bracha, without a bracha, Chatzi Hal, Hal Shalem? Should I say Slichas? Should I fast? Should I clap Al Chet? Should I take a haircut? Should I blow shofar? Should I say Kabbalah Shabbos? Should I read the Haftarah? Right, here we have someone ready to blow a shofar right now. We should be zochem ritzem soon to hear shofar shel Mashiach. And so to address this final leg of the conversation, we go back to where we began yesterday, which is that a lot of times this is an issue that tends to often attract more heat than light. I mean, this is an issue where people often get sort of swept away with like different practices being like almost like team colors. Like it's a way of identifying, I'm on this team. I'm on that team. You see, I do this, I do that. You know, I'm more of a Zionist, so I say hal like this. I'm less of a Zionist, I say hal like that. You know, I'm pro, I'm anti. We're blue, I'm wearing green. But the truth is that whole approach, and there are people who take that approach on all sides of the issue. There are people who are very pro, there are people who are very anti, there are people sort of in between, and you have plenty of people on all sides of the issue who are sort of approaching this as like, group identification, like, which team am I on? So I'll do the stuff that corresponds to my team. Well, I'm really Zionist, I'll do X. Well, I'm sort of Zionist, I'll do Y. I'm really anti-Zionist, I should do Z. But a Ben Torah, a Barin Tam Chacham, should say, Ani Mame Mune Shalema, that Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is relevant to all generations. That Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah gives us guidance for all sorts of situations. Just like you have Mishnayos and Kalim that talk about, ancient technology from the period of the Tanaim, but we can apply those principles to talk about modern technology of the 21st century. Just like you have a Gemara and Chagiga that can help us figure out how to address reproductive technologies that were developed in the last couple of decades, like surrogate motherhood, and halacha, and just like Poskim have been discussing halachic perspectives on electricity and electronics for the last 100 years, based on the classical, we can figure out how to apply the classical principles of halacha to new modern situations. So Hakamas HaMedina is no different. We should use, instead of just shooting from the hip, let's see where this comes from. Let's see where this comes from. So not to say, Tachnun, if you accept the arguments that we made before, there are so many, so many things to celebrate. So much hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a day that so much was changed l'tov. It's a day that the crying Shamayim was quieted. V'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. So we don't passim like the Rambam. Rambam assumes that Tachan is a chovah, and as a result, is a very short list of days when you skip Tachan. Shabbos, Yantiv, Chol Moed, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim. That's about it. But Shulchan Aruch Ramah assume a much broader list. We leave out Tachnun anytime there's a slight simcha, like Ba'omer and Tu B'Shvat and Pesach Sheni perhaps, and so on and so forth. to not say Tachnun Yom Atzmut, that's the low-hanging fruit. But to address the question of Halal, it's not a question of how much I love the state of Israel. To address the question of Halal, we have to get into a little bit into the sugya of Halal. So over the next couple of minutes, we have around 10 minutes or so. And every issue, the question of taking a haircut and the question of shofar and Kabbalah Shabbos, we should look at those sugyas and figure out how they apply. And so the Gemara tells us, in Erechin, we discussed this, I believe, Chanukah time, the Gemara talks about when do you say Halal, when do you not say Halal? And the Gemara develops it that in the Brisker Rav, the Rambam talks about some more, and the beautiful Brisker Rav about this, that there are two major types of Halal. There's a Halal Shal Kriya, Halal Shal Shira. There's a Halal of Yom Tov, Machlokas Rambam Ramban, whether that's a Min HaTorah or Midrabanan, the Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah Perek Gimel Lachavav says the Halal Yom Tov is Rabbanan. Ramban in the Hasagas Sefer Mitzvahs, Shorash Aleph, writes that he believes that Halal Yom Tov might be the Raisin expression of Simchas Yom Tov. So that's a Halal on first day of Pesach, Halal on Shavuos, Halal on Sukkot and Shmi Atzeres. The Rambam writes that the Gemara says you don't say Halal, but what happened to Rosh Hashanah Kippur? So the Gemara gives a very poetic answer, Sifre Chaim, Sifre Nesim, Suchim Lefanov. The Rambam says what that means is there isn't enough Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Kippur. There are days of Simcha, but the Simcha is muted because it's they're also Yimei Hadin. So not enough Simcha to Mechaiv Halal. Okay. That's one type of halal, the halal of Yom Tov, halal of Simchas Yom Tov. Then the other halal, the Gemara says, the Chanukah is not the Yom Tov. The Gemara says, yeah, but a Chanukah, it's because of the Nes. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nes. Gemara talks about the end of Pesachim also. When they are Nisim, when they are Yeshuas, Klal Yisrael responds with halal. And not only halal, B'Shas HaNes, like Az Yashir at the time of Kriyas Yom Tov, like the Shira that Chizkiyahu HaMelech should have said, the Gemara says, when he was Nitzal from Sancheiriv. Like perhaps, as we discussed before Pesach, every Leil HaSeder, we relive Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have once again a Halal B'Shas HaNeis, but there's also a Halal Zeichel HaNeis. Halal Zeichel HaNeis is Chanukah. That's the classic Halal Zeichel HaNeis. It's Chanukah. The Gemara says, one second, if you have a Yeshua, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us on Chanukah, and as a result, we say Halal. What happened to Purim? So why don't we say Halal on Purim? The Gemara gives three answers. One answer is, we do say Halal on Purim. But the ideal Halal for Purim is Mikra Megillah. That's where the Rambam paskens. And that's where the Meiri writes. Rabbi Jesse Horn points out to me a number of years ago. Meiri writes that if you don't have a Megillah, then you should say Halal on Purim. Because there is a Chi of Halal on Purim. The other Amor, two other Amoram have other approaches. They say, no, there's no Halal on Purim because that wasn't the type of Yeshua for which you say Halal. Why? The Gemara does not say because Purim had no Nisim Gluyim. Purim was all Nisim Nistarm. Apparently, you can say Halal for Nisim Nistarm, Germanic Nisim Nistarm. The Gemara says the two reasons why you might not, why Purim might not be eligible is either because it happened in Chutz La'aretz or because it did not result in Jewish sovereignty. Once again, we come back to the idea, the halachic concept of Jewish sovereignty. The Gemara says, "Akati avdi achashverosh anan." We were still avadim tachashverosh. So, if it doesn't result in Jewish sovereignty, it doesn't happen in Eretz Yisrael, then it doesn't qualify for a halal. Perhaps that means that Purim was a Yeshua, but not a geula. That's one way of understanding those answers. To be geula has to be in Eretz Yisrael. To be geula, it has to be result in Jewish sovereignty, which Hanukkah did. Hanukkah obviously Nisan happened in Eretz Yisrael, and the Nes of Hanukkah resulted not only spiritual freedom of the Jewish people, but political freedom. They established Jewish sovereignty up until, from the period of the Hashanah, up until the time of Hordus, when Rome crept into Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam stresses that when he tells the story of Hanukkah, that they resulted in Jewish political sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. So Yom HaTzma'ut did happen in Eretz Yisrael, and it did result in Jewish sovereignty. We were no longer Avdei Achashverosh. And Rav Shechter develops this at greater length in his second sefer, Bikvei Atzon. He has a series of three articles which together build the idea, part of which we discussed earlier in the shiur, of the notion of halachic perspectives, halachic categories through which to understand and make sense of the modern state of Israel. And specifically, one of the categories he develops, as we talked before, is Ashalta de Gula, seeing this as a beginning, a step towards the process of Gula, perhaps even an element of Gula. And as Rabbi Tabas mentioned before, step towards ultimately Binyan HaMikdash, because Hamadas Melech needs to precede Binyan HaMikdash. So Rabbi Shechter develops at length in those articles that essentially Yom HaTzma'ut is conceptually the same category as Hanukkah and Purim. And the Hallel flows naturally. Not only because the Gemara at the end of Maseches Pesachim talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us in dramatic ways, we ought to sing Shira. And Magen Avraham quotes the Maram Al Shakar and other late Rishonim that when a city experienced a Yeshua, when there was a terrible Gzer in a city that almost killed, they survived with Nisim, not Nisim Gluim, Nisim Nestarim, that it's appropriate to establish a Purim for that town for every year. That day that they were Nitzal, that they should forever after celebrate. And there was a Purim of Frankfurt, and there was a Purim of this town, and a Purim of Istanbul, I believe, with different cities in Europe. The Jewish community, for centuries, kept an additional Purim, so to speak, on a particular day. The Chai Adam discusses that even in a personal context. At the end of the Chelek of the Chai Adam, before it begins Hilchos Shabbos, you can take a look. He says his family was Nitzal, it was a terrible fire, and the house went on fire, the whole area went on fire, and everyone in the family was injured, but they all survived. Some of them had pretty serious injuries, it sounds like. They all survived. They made a Purim for themselves and for their descendants. So this is a Purim for Klal Yisrael, an additional Purim, so to speak, for Klal Yisrael. And it's more, because this mamash was not only Yeshua, but it seems to have been the beginning of Geula. And it happened in Eretz Yisrael. And it did lead to Jewish sovereignty. It was not Akati Avdei Achashverosh. So the argument to say Hallel in the cast of Hanukkah, unlike Purim, is very strong. And now the question is, okay, full Hallel, half Hallel, with a bracha, without a bracha. So once again, you know, often people think that's depends how Zionistic you are. So Rabbi Shechter, B'mestik L'shono, he likes to say, the machlok is whether you should say Hallel Shalim with the bracha or chasei al ala bracha. It's really a machlok on Hayom Atzmut. It's really a machlok as the chasim sofer and the netziv. You say, I think I may have mentioned this the other day. I say, do a double take. Wait, chasim sofer and netziv in the 1800s. They lived long before Akamas and Medina. What do you mean machlok chasim? Well, they are arguing what's going to be when we have Akamas and Medina. Not quite, but they had a machlokas about Hanukkah that's relevant here. Because the Chasam Sofer Netziv are mechulak over whether Halal on I mentioned before Halal on Yom Tov, mechulak is Rambam Ramban whether it's Doraisa or Drabbanan. Halal on Chanukah, whether that's Doraisa or Drabbanan, is a mechulak as Chasam Sofer Netziv. The Chasam Sofer held that Halal on Chanukah is Doraisa, Zeichel Neis. It's similar to Az Yashir. We find references in Chumash that a Jew has to respond to Yeshua with Shira. The Gemara says, end of Pesach, as I mentioned before, Chizkiyahu HaMelech was criticized severely for not responding when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him with Nisan. He didn't respond with Shira. And that was considered to be a severe chet. So Chasam Sofer argues that Halal in response, Halal Zeichel Neis, Halal of Chanukah is Daraisa. Now the Tziv point, that's a position of Chasam Sofer. Halal Chanukah is Daraisa. Netziv pushes back. There's a Gemara, he points to Gemara, I believe Gemara Brachas Tezvav, maybe, I forget, that seems to indicate pretty clearly that Halal Chanukah is Derabbanon. I believe it's an Etziv, or maybe it's later Achronim, who respond to the Chasam Sofer's point. They say, yes, Hal B'Shas HaNes is Daraisa. In the moment of Yeshua, Chizkiyahu HaMelech should have Min HaTorah said Shira when he woke up that morning and he saw that Sancheirev's armies were no longer massed around Yerushalayim. But to say Halal the next year, so yes, maybe the Chi of Halal was Daraisa at the time of the Nes Chanukah. But the Netziv's approach would argue, but Zeichel Nes in coming years to commemorate, that's only Darabanan. So again, so you have a Machlokas Chasam Sofer Netziv, where the Halal Zeichel Nes is Daraisa or Darabanan. Now, by the way, it's interesting. Chanukah, yeah, so how is this relevant? How is relevant to Yom HaTzmut? So you can say, look, Yom HaTzmut, there's no, it's not the Reisa, it's not Rabbana, there's no Takana, there's no nothing. Right? But let me push back. Chasam Sofer says, Hal and Chanukah is the Reisa, Hal and Chanukah is the Reisa, but Chanukah is Rabbanan. Chanukah is Rabbanan. The whole institution of Chanukah is only Rabbanan. So what do you mean, Hal and Chanukah is the Reisa? See, the answer is what the Chasam Sofer is saying is, not Chanukah in particular. I mean, as we said a couple of minutes ago, Halal, in response to a nes, is a chiyuv d'oraisa whenever that comes up. And the Chasam Sofer is of the opinion that not only in the moment, but even in coming years, in subsequent years, Halal Zeichel Nes is a d'oraisa whenever there is such a nes. So if you hold that Chazal didn't have to be misakin, create a chiyuv Halal on Chanukah, because it came automatically, that's a din of Halal Zeichel Nes, then that's going to be true on Hay Year as well. That's another application of the din. Halal Zeichel Nes is a real chiyuv. The same way there's a real chiyuv on Chanukah without a specific takanum. If, on the other hand, so if you said in Chasam Sofer, so l'chora, based on what we are, based on the framework we've developed, then Halal on Chanukah, Halal Yom HaTzmut is a real chiyuv. If, however, you said the Netziv, Halal on Chanukah is drabanan, what does that mean? That Halal Zeichel Nes is only a chiyuv if Chazal created. If they create, it's meaningful, but if they don't create it, if they create it, it's not only meaningful, but it's a chiyuv drabanan. But if they don't create it, until they have the specific takana, there's no chiyuv of halal zeichel nes. So if you hold like the Chasam Sofer, the halal Chanukah is daraisa, then halal Yom HaTzmut should be a real chiyuv. If you hold like the Netziv, that halal Chanukah is only a chiyuv midrabanan, so Chazal never created a new chi of Halal Yom HaTzmut. So Halal Yom HaTzmut could be meaningful mitam minhag, but it's not going to be a chi. How do we know such a thing as Halal mitam minhag? That's a Gemara. I believe Maseches Tanis. The Gemara says that Rav comes to Bavel. It seems like the first he had learned the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us Rav had been a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi in Eretz Yisrael. He got Simicha, he went off to Bavel and Shlichut. He comes to Bavel and there was incredible rampant Amoratzis. Gemara in Chulin, the 8th parak, talks about he comes to Tat Lefush and the people are in violation of Basa B'chalav, terrible. So he comes to Gemara and Tanya says, Rav comes to Shul, Rosh Chodesh, and they start saying Halal. Start saying Halal, Gevald. He says, oh no, here we go again, Amaratzis. Everyone knows you don't say Halal Rosh Chodesh. Gemara says, oh, when he saw that they were Medalgi Daluge, so they were skipping. Oh, saying half. Halal said, oh, okay. Minogavas Sehim B'yedehim. That's okay. Chatzi Halal, it must be a minute. So what was the shock of Atariya? If there's no halal, there's no halal. So what you see is, the halal Rosh Chodesh is not a din, but apparently it's a meaningful minhag. Perhaps because there's an element of simcha Rosh Chodesh, so not enough to mechayev halal, but it's meaningful to have halal Rosh Chodesh. So that's their minhag, and we see from the Gemara, is halal shalom you only say on a halal that's mi'ikra din. If a halal mitam minhag, you can say chatzi halal, but not halal shalom. So now let's put all the pieces together. If you hold that Halal Chanukah is Daraisa, then it follows. If you accept some of what we said before about the state of Israel, then Halal Yom HaTzmut should be a chiyuv, like Halal Chanukah. And in which case, you're going to say a bracha, and you can say Halal Shalom. If you hold that Halal on Chanukah is only Drabanan, so then Halal on Yom HaTzmut could be like Rosh Chodesh. I mean, it's a meaningful minhag. Chazal never were masakin a chiyuv Halal, the way they were on Chanukah, because Yom HaTzmut happened after Chazal. Okay, but it's certainly it's meaningful, just like Rosh Chodesh is a meaningful but not obligatory expression of Halal of Yom Tov. Yom HaTzmut, according to Netziv, could be a meaningful but not obligatory expression of Halal of Chanukah. So if you hold that's a chiyuv, like the Chasam Sofer would hold. So then you should say bracha, you should say Hal Shalom. If you hold it's not a chiyuv, it's a minhag, so none of the Gemara in Tanis is clear, if it's a mitam minhag, like Rosh Chodesh, you only say half Hal. And number two, that there's a machlokas or Rishonim, whether or not you say a bracha on Hal Shalom Rosh Chodesh. Eitan Itamar, Rachem and Asher perhaps could speak to this. If you go to a Sephardi shul on Rosh Chodesh, they say half hal without a bracha. You go to Ashkenazi shul, they say half hal with a bracha. It's a machlokas Rambam Meotam. It's a machlokas Machab Rama. All machlokas. A beautiful brisker Rav about this, not for now. It's the one brisker Rav and safer on Hilchos Brachas. Larger about this topic. The machlokas about whether or not you make a Birkas HaMitzvah on a minhag. So Rav Shechter said, okay, it's already, some Ashkenazi poskim are not so happy that we say halal on Rosh Chodesh. We're risking bracha v'atala. Okay, but that's the classic Ashkenazi psak. So, okay, so it's already a chiddush that we're willing to say halal on a minig that's, 1800 years old. Halal Rosh Chodesh. To say a bracha on a minig that's a couple of decades old, that we are more hesitant about. But again, it's not a question of how pro-Israel are you. How pro-Zionist are you? It comes from the sugyas of halal. It comes from the sugyas of Birkas HaMitzvah. And the same is true. There were rabbanim. I'll take questions in a couple of moments. But there were rabbanim who were very, in the early days of the state, who were very encouraging of we should have a Kabbal Shabbos the night of Yom HaTzmaut. We should have the Haftarah the day of Yom HaTzmaut. The Haftarah that they read is the what Bnei Chutzaretz read as the Haftarah of Shmini Shel Pesach. Very beautiful. Ola Yom. Benov Lama, one of the most picturesque descriptions of Bias HaMashiach throughout Nevi'im Achronim. We have the schus to hear it every Shmini Shel Pesach. This year, we read it ourselves. Usually we hear it in Shul. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't have Shmini Shel Pesach. So that became adopted as the quote-unquote Haftarah for Yom HaTzmaut. And the Tekiah Shofar. So there were rabbanim who were very encouraged of this. I shout the quotes on the Rav. The Rav was very opposed. He said, this is a ceremonialization, making up ceremonies. He said, there are, again, halachic categories for each. There are halachic categories for when you say Haftar, for when you say Kabbal Shabbos, for when you blow Shofar. We don't blow Shofar on Pesach. That doesn't mean that we're anti-Pesach. Are you not such a pro-Pesach Jew because you don't blow shofar? If you were more of a pro-Pesach, if you really took Pesach seriously, you blow shofar? No, of course not. Of course we take Pesach seriously. But shofar is a din Rosh Hashanah, not a din of Pesach. Kabbal Shabbos is the expression of Kabbal Shabbos. We don't say Kabbal Shabbos on Yom Tov. Doesn't mean we don't take Shavuah seriously. It means that Kabbal Shabbos, din Shabbos. The Haftarah, we only say Haftarah when you're on a day that's also b'malacha. Shabbos and Yom Tov. We don't say Haftarah and Chol HaMoed. We don't say Haftarah and Rosh Chodesh. We don't say Haftarah and Chanukah and Purim. And in general, the frame of mind ought to be that Yom HaTzmaut is going to follow the halachic category of Chanukah and Purim. So there's no Isra Malach and Chanukah and Purim. There's no Mustaf obviously in Chanukah and Purim. There is a Kriyas HaTorah, but that's a specific Takana. And there's Halal on Chanukah and Purim. We don't say Lam Natseach. And we certainly don't say Tachanun. So we expect Yom HaTzmaut to follow. We don't say Haftarah on Chanukah and Purim. We don't say Kabbal Shabbos on Chanukah and Purim, unless it happens to be Shabbos. We don't blow shofar. And finally, how about Avelus of Sfira? So I've discussed with our Shechter many times over the years. This year we are not zochet to have a Yom HaTzmaut Chagiga biyachad. In the flesh, we got to have one via Zoom last night. So can you take a haircut? Can you listen to music? So Rav Shechter points out that even though there were Rabbanim in Merkaz Rav and others who felt that one should take a haircut l'kavod Yom HaTzmaut, so Rav Shechter's approach, based on Rav, is no. Why? Because he said, not because he's not a Zionist. Again, I don't know anyone else. I don't know of any other Jews, certainly in the Western Hemisphere, who have devoted three heavy-duty articles to developing a halachically significant approach, framework for understanding Aschal de Gula. I would say, if intellectually speaking, Shechter is arguably the greatest religious Zionist in the Western Hemisphere. So this has nothing to do with how great a Zionist you are. He points out, we take Yom Tov pretty seriously also. We take Shabbos Yom Tov pretty seriously, but Aveilus HaSfira, as we discussed the other week, Aveilus HaSfira, as the Rav develops, is patterned after Aveilus Yubeis Chodesh. Shabbos and Yom Tov are not Doche Aveilus Yubeis Chodesh. Right? Shabbos Yom Tov are not Doche Aveilus Yubeis Chodesh. Chanukah and Purim is not Doche Aveilus Yubeis Chodesh. So, Shabbos is not Doche Aveilus HaSfira, so to speak, right? If Chanukah fell out during Sfira, Chanukah does fall out during Aveilus Yubeis Chodesh, a person, Rachmanus, and lose their relative, and he's not allowed to go to a wedding on Chanukah. So Yom Ha'atzmaut, he's not allowed to take a haircut. The Avel, if the Avel finishes Shloshim a week before Chanukah, he's not allowed to take a haircut on Chanukah or L'Kavod Chanukah. Yubeis Chodesh still applies. It's not Doche Yubeis Chodesh. So by that logic, the same should be true for Yom Ha'atzmaut. It's not Doche Yubeis Chodesh, nor should it be Doche Aveilus HaSfira. However, as we mentioned the other day, Aveilus HaSfira is Nidche by Mitzvah, because Aveilus HaSfira, it's patterned after Yubeis Chodesh, but it's only binding Mitam Minag, not Mitam, not Mikra Din. And therefore, one can go to someone else is getting married when it's Aveilus HaSfira for me, simply the Mitzvah, simply Chasim Kala, can be doche the minag of Aveilus HaSfira. So even though I'm keeping Aveilus HaSfira, I'm not allowed to listen to music on the car ride to or from the wedding, but at the wedding, I'm going to dance for Chasam Kala because the mitzvah of Sikmas Chasam Kala is doche the minag of Aveilus HaSfira. So that's what Rashi suggested, and many posts would suggest. The same should be true here, that this is not used based Chodesh Mikra Adin, this is Mitam Minag. So, stam just to listen to music just because, or to take a haircut, that's very difficult to argue, though there are those who definitely held that one should take a haircut, you know what? But that's the perspective of Mayer Bain, very difficult to argue. But, stam to listen to music just to hold you, that's not right. Sfira applies. But to have a mesiba, where you're giving Hodat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all these great nisim, all these great gifts that he has given us, that's along the lines of what the Ramah develops in Chanukah, that the Sudas Chanukah is not automatically a Sudas Mitzvah, but if it's with Shears of Vesir Shbachos, so it's transformed to a Sudas Mitzvah. So we should be Zoche next year. Halavai, we should be Zoche next year to Geula Shalema. And by next year, we'll be celebrating in Beis HaMikdash. And if not, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that to not bring Mashiach over the course of next year, we should at least be Zoche to come together in Eretz Yisrael, in Washington Heights, wherever we are, to come together to celebrate the all the great gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given. This year we celebrate alone together. In Eretz Hashem, in coming years we will celebrate together, to come to know, and this captures it all, that even when things aren't perfect, it doesn't mean there aren't Yeshuas which we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't yet have a Mashiach, and certainly the state of Israel is not a spiritually perfect state. And yet there's so much to be grateful for. That's true on a personal level. Right now we're stuck in places that are not ideal in many ways, and yet there's still so much to be grateful for. And certainly on a national level, there's so much to be sameach for. And that's why I wish you all, using the same nusach that we use on Chanukah and Purim, I wish you all a freilichen Yom Ha'atzmaut. Yashakaya Chever, we should be Zocha to continue to celebrate for many healthy years and decades to come.